We're going to spend some time in God's Word. And if you would, take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The last fellowship we had, we finished the manifestation of believing. The manifestation of believing is the ability that God has given you to command the impossible to come to pass, you know, according to what God has given you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, or discerning spirits, that you can command the impossible to come to pass. That's quite an exciting feat. So we covered a lot of things concerning that, and now we're going to go into the next manifestation, which is working of miracles. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, we're going to read, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." And then it's going to list these nine manifestations. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith or believing by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles." And that's what we're going to take a look at in the next couple of weeks, the working of miracles. Now, the term miracle is commonly used in our day and time, but often in an inaccurate way when it comes to what the Bible says about miracles. Now, some of the subjects we're going to cover in the next couple of weeks are the things we're going to answer is, what is a miracle according to the Bible? How do miracles come about? Can I perform a miracle? And if so, how? And what can I do to see miracles happen? So to begin with, we're going to start with, what is a miracle? And a miracle is the effect produced by potential or inherent power being brought forth into manifestation. So I'll read that again. It's a little wordy, but a miracle is the effect produced by potential or inherent power being brought forth into manifestation. It's the result of God's power being energized or utilized. That's what a miracle is. And we're going to look at the two words working, where it says working of miracles. The word working is a Greek word called energema. And energema, it basically means what is worked. What is worked? That is the effect produced. And we're going to get involved with that in a little while. What, you know, the effect produced. It's similar to kinetic energy. Kinetic means something that's got motion or movement. And in the English, the word energema is translated as the word energy. Energy has movement or produces movement. It has a motion to it, produces motion. So that's basically what the word working is. It's an effect produced. And the word miracle is a Greek word called dunamis. Very familiar word to some of us, dunamis. And dunamis is potential power or inherent power. I looked up the word inherent because I wasn't sure exactly what it means. I've heard it many times. But it basically, according to Webster Dictionary, means existing in something as a permanent and inseparable element, quality, or attribute. So inherent power, which a believer has because of the gift of Holy Spirit, is power that God has given that person. It's inside of them. So a miracle is inherent, a dunamis is inherent power or potential power, and that's what a believer has in them. The word dunamis is often translated as power. Here it's translated as miracles. It's most of the time translated as power. It's translated as mighty, mighty works. Works, there's a lot of different words that it's translated into the English as. But if you understand it as potential power, it's helpful. So basically, working in miracles literally would be a working of potential power, or a utilizing of potential power, or an operating of potential power, or an energizing of potential power. It's a working of work. It's a working of power. It's power that's worked. It's power that's utilized. It's power that's operated. It's power that's energized. And that's what working the miracles actually is. As an illustration, we have a few things here. I like illustrations. This is hydrogen peroxide. And these are little first aid things here I got out of Susan's box. Hydrogen peroxide is used for cleaning up wounds, and it's like a first aid tool. Now, they list in a lot of these things the active ingredient. And the active ingredient on this one is, you won't believe it, it's hydrogen peroxide. And this bottle has 3% of it. And its purpose is first aid antiseptic. And so if you work this stuff, if you cut yourself and you pour this on and you work this, you're going to get that white bubbling thing and all that stuff. It cleans. And you are working this power and you'll have a clean wound. Right? So this one here is antibacterial hand sanitizer. And the active ingredient on this one is called ethyl alcohol, 62%. And its purpose is antimicrobial. That's its purpose. So if you work this stuff, the active ingredient being the ethyl prop, the ethyl alcohol, 62%. You'll be working this stuff. The result, the effect produced, would be a clean hand. Right? That's the effect produced. This one here, Benadryl, very commonly used. The active ingredient here, anybody want to guess?
Benadryl.
Well, this, according to this, is called diphenhydramine, HIC, 2%. The purpose is a topical analgesic, and it's used to relieve pain and itching associated with insect bites, minor burns, sunburn, minor skin irritation. So if you've got one of them things, and you put this on there and you work it, that active ingredient is going to produce a soothing feeling, right? That's what it's going to do. The effect produced, if you work this, is, that feels better. Okay, let's say you've got a cut and you don't want it to get infected. Here we go, Neosporin, right? This one looks like it's been on the job site. Okay, the active ingredient here, we got three things, Bactracian, Neomycin, and Polymyxin. And their purpose is first aid antibiotic. So if you work this stuff into your cut, the effect produced is the bacteria can't live in there and make your finger red or hurt, right? So the effect produced is a good feeling. There you go. All right, this one here, everybody knows what this is. This is waterproof tape used for medical purposes, you know, the white tape that you wrap around little wounds. And there is no active ingredient in here, but it does say purpose, put over Wesley's mouth. So if you put enough of this on here, the X marks the spot, I'll probably shut up. But the effect produced may be wonderful. So, there we have it. The effect produced of working the work of power is whatever that is. And we're going to look at some of that today. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. The effect produced. So again, a miracle is the result of God's power being energized or utilized or worked. Acts chapter 2, let me keep thinking 20. Verse 22, Peter on the day of Pentecost speaking to the people in the temple after they had just spoken tongues. And it says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which who?
God
did by him in the midst of you all, as yourselves also know." Jesus Christ worked the power of God that he had. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Jesus Christ worked, energized the power of God that he had. Working of miracles is an energizing of potential power. Acts chapter 8, verse 6. Philip had gone down to a city called Samaria. And in verse 6 it says, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Philip worked the work of God, or the power of God. He worked that power. He energized the power of God that he had because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Verse 11. And God wrought or worked special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Paul worked the power of God. He energized the power of God that he had. As a result, there were miracles. There's actually three words that are translated miracle, which we're not going to get into, but the one is dunamis, which we just looked at. There's another one called Simeon, which is often translated sign, but it's also translated miracle a lot. And another one, tetras, or teros, and that is often translated miracle or wonder. It's often translated wonder. And all three of them deal with the same subject. In 1 Corinthians 12, the word dunamis was used. It's an energizing of potential power. In the Working Translation, Walter put it as the operation of miracles instead of working of miracles. It could also be the operation of power, operation or working of power. So these miracles that God did are, you know, what God did for that time. But one thing about miracles is that miracles are by God's choosing. You can't just wake up in the morning and say, oh, I'm going to do a miracle today. You can expect miracles, but we're not the initiator of the working of that. You have to have two things going for you. You have to have good looks. Counts me out. And what else? Now, what we need is we need revelation from God. We need to receive word of knowledge or word of wisdom or discerning spirits or all three. We need to receive information from God Almighty. The next thing we have to do to have miracles happen is operate the manifestation of believing, which we just covered. We have to manifest believing. So Paul did that. God gave Paul information as what to do. He manifested, used the manifestation of believing, and special miracles were worked. Miracles are the result of energizing power that is brought forth by believing what God says to do. I'll read it again. Miracles are the result of energizing power that is brought forth by believing what God says to do. Now, miracles aren't just in the category of healing. Often we think of healing being the only thing that's a miracle. They aren't. There's many different types of, or different ways miracles are brought forth. And we're going to take a look at some of these. We're going to start in the Gospel of John, chapter 2. There are many different ways because the result of God's power is manifested in many different ways. So we're going to just take a look at a couple. This is Jesus Christ's first miracle, which we're still trying to figure out how he did it. He and his mother and some of the disciples were at a wedding, and they ran out of wine, and Jesus got involved. And in verse 7 it says, Jesus saith unto them, these were the servants at the wedding, fill the water pots with water. John chapter 2, verse 7. Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have drunk, well drunk, then that which is worst. Sounds like it goes on still on, still today. Then that which is worst. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So this was his first miracle, turning water into wine. You know, it's not normally done. We haven't figured that one out yet, how to do it. But it was a manifestation of God's power. Let's go to Mark chapter 4 while we're in the neighborhood here. Mark chapter 4. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 9. We're going to go there first. Mark 9. This is referring to a casting out of a devil spirit. And we went over that in detail in, when we were covering discerning the spirits. Chapter 9, verse 38. It says, and John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. He wasn't one of us. And we forbade him, because he followed not us. And Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. The casting out of a devil spirit is a miracle. It's a working or an energizing of God's power. When you cast out a devil spirit, it's a working or an energizing of God's power. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Miracles aren't just healings. There are many different types of working of God's power. Mark chapter 4, verse 36. Jesus on a little ship, and it got a bit stormy there. Verse 36 says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no believing? And they feared or were in awe exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now that was a manifesting or an energizing of God's power. God told Jesus to command the, you know, the rebuke the sea, rebuke the wind. And, you know, manifestation of believing is you could bring to pass the impossible at your command. He simply said, peace be still. He commanded it. He believed what God said was available. He worked the energy, he energized the power that of the Spirit of God that he had upon him. As a result, it was calm. That was a miracle. Let's go to Exodus. In the beginning of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus chapter 14, we're going to see Moses parting the Red Sea when the children of Israel are leaving Egypt to go into the beginning of starting into their journey into the Promised Land. And there was an incredible miracle that happened. Some of you may have seen the movie, Red Sea, you know, they part. Of course, in the movie, they walk over this squishy water, you know, the little slop. It says they walked on dry ground. They didn't have a little bit of water on the bottom of the river. They walked, trudged it. Chapter 14, we're going to look at verse 16. God speaking to Moses, and he tells him, but lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Incredible. It was a energizing of the power of God Moses had upon him. And that was the working of miracles. It's a very simple thing. It's just an energizing of that what you got. It's no different than energizing his hand stuff. You're just putting it to work. So, let's go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings is right after, you know what, 1 Kings. There we go. So we got Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. We're going to 2 Kings chapter 4. We read this record in the section when we dealt with Word of Wisdom, Word of Knowledge. We're going to look at it in light of a miracle. 2 Kings chapter 4. Oh, no, this isn't the same record. I'm sorry. But it is a great record. Chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear or respect the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." In our day and time, if you owe money on your credit cards to the point that the creditors call up, they don't say, okay, we understand you got two daughters and a couple sons. We're coming to get them. We'll take your wife too. Okay. You just sweetened up the pot. No, they don't come and take your kids. They can't. By law in our country, they can't come and take your kids legally. Back then, in this culture, that's what happened. The creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elijah said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house?" And he said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him, shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God. And he said, "Go, sell the oil, and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest." So God gave Elijah revelation. Go borrow as many vessels as you could. Take the one pot you have and start pouring. Now as she poured, God multiplied the oil. That's an energizing of the power of God. It was a miracle. It doesn't usually work that way. Right? We try it, but it doesn't usually work that way. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6 while we're in the neighborhood. Verse 1. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elijah, "Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell." And he answered, "Go ye." And one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servant." And he answered, "I will go." And he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. So he's chopping a tree down, and the head flies off and goes into the water. Yeah. And he said, "Alas, my master, for it was borrowed." You know, it wasn't my own. I borrowed this thing. And the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, he said, "Take it up thee." And he put out his own hand and he took it. Now, It's not too often that you can just take a stick and throw it in the water and it gets into that little hole that the axe head's on and makes the thing rise. You ever do those things at the boardwalk where you put your 25 cents or 50 cents in and you got all these things, these little crane things, and you're trying to pick it up? And, you know, there, it's right in front of you and you can't do it. How about with water, you can't tell where it is. You just, it fell someplace over there. Wow. The miracle was that it happened the first time. The operation of, you know, he manifested the power that he had upon him. That was the miracle. So miracles happen in all different ways. It's the power of God being operated. John chapter 11. The Gospel of John, chapter 11. It's not just healings, although healings are or can be miraculous. John chapter 11, we're going to go to verse 41. A man named Lazarus, who was a wonderful believer, had died. He got very sick and he died. Jesus came to visit his sisters and he came with the intent of raising him from the dead. God told him he would be able to raise him from the dead, and he is following suit. And in verse 41, we pick up the record, and it says, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He's going to command the impossible, or he's going to bring to pass the impossible at his command. Dead people don't normally raise up. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Incredible. Jesus manifested or energized the power of God that he had upon him, which was that Spirit of God that was upon him. And that, you know, he worked the power that he had, which is becomes a miracle. So these things, when it comes to working miracles, it's the energizing of the inherent power within, with the effect produced being the result of energizing that power. I'll read that again. It's the energizing of the inherent power within, with the effect produced being the result of energizing that power. As another illustration, I have here a flashlight and a battery, and we can think of this battery as the power source. It's potential power. It's not doing anything right now. The energy is, or the power is in it, hopefully. There's power in this battery.
That's the wrong kind of battery.
I know.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to ruin my surprise.
Sorry.
I ruined it. Okay, it's okay. They still love you. Okay, there's a battery, got power in it. Flashlight. Flashlight has a different type of battery in it. Same principle. And here it is. If I push the button, I'm going to be working that energy. And what will happen is there's light. Okay? The effect produced of me working that energy is light. And the light is because of the power that's in here. It's an energizing and working of the power that's in the flashlight. I know it's a silly illustration, but there's a power source, there's a using of that power source, and there's an effect produced. Here, it's the effect produced is light. Over here, I have a tape recorder, and it has batteries also, different type. And when you push the button on this,
well, God's word does the same for us.
That's Sammy.
We read God's word. We understand the things in God's
word. Children's Fellowship. But it produces a sound. The effect produced was a sound. It's an energizing. By me pushing this button, I'm working that power with this tool, and I get a sound. So it's the same thing when it comes to the working of miracles. For instance, the turning of the water into wine was the effect produced, the result of God's power being manifested. The Red Sea standing up was the effect produced, the result of energizing God's power. It's a miracle. The storm turned calm was the effect produced, the result of energizing God's power. Removing the devil spirit was the effect produced, the result of energizing God's power. Oil being multiplied was the effect produced, the result of energizing God's power. Person being raised up from the dead was the effect produced, the result of energizing God's power. So when you look at it in light of that, can miracles occur today?
Sure.
Sure they can. Why? Well, they're a result of energizing or operating or working God's power. Can we energize or work God's power? Sure. Miracles aren't a thing of the past. They're not just relegated to people in the Bible. They are available to us today. Jesus Christ was the greatest miracle worker of all time. The fact that he was the greatest indicates there had to be more than one person doing it. If you have a lineup of one person, he's the biggest guy in the line. You got to have more than one person to have the greatest, right? There's got to be at least two. He was the greatest miracle worker of all time. Paul was a miracle worker. Peter was a miracle worker. John was a miracle worker. Philip was a miracle worker. Moses was a miracle worker. Elijah was a miracle worker. The list goes on and on and on and on. All miracle workers. Jesus Christ happened to be the greatest one. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2 to close. Acts chapter 2. Miracles are available today to those who energize the power that they have. Chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you all, as you yourselves also know. He was the greatest miracle worker of all time, but not the only miracle worker. And so, in light of it, understanding that it's just a matter of us energizing the power that we already have, it becomes quite simple, but we do have to have revelation. Don't try this at home. Don't just pour water into a glass and tell people, okay, I'm going to turn it into wine, or I'm going to take my bottle of oil and look how I can multiply it. We have to have, or the bridge is broken, no bother, we're just going to ride over the water. It has to be by revelation. And revelation, as we saw, is so easy to receive. If we are ready to receive, God's wanting to do stuff. Now, next week, what we're going to do is we're going to look at our miracle working God, because it says the miracles that God did by Him. God is a miracle working God, and He isn't asleep up there. He's all powerful, and He is a miracle working God. So we're going to take a look at that next week. But in essence, I just trust that was clear enough. Working in miracles is where we energize the power of God, the potential power that we have already in us. So it's not like any special magic. And it's not hard to do. So, God, thanks for blessing this wonderful day of ours and for your word and for all that we do have available that you've made available to us, that we have the ability to manifest working of miracles. And just thanks for showing us the great simplicity of it and how to do it. Enjoy it. And thanks for the health that you do make available to us day after day after day, and that we can ever be reminded of what your Son Jesus Christ accomplished so that we can receive healing and stay healthy and whole and enjoy the remission and forgiveness of sins. Thanks for these things and for blessing the abundant sharing. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.